In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Our second lecture for tonight is how to introduce an invisible God. You know, it's not easy to just introduce this person, God, to somebody. Really, it's a tough mission. Because when you introduce, I can introduce Sharif to Wadid, Wadid to Marina. So they say, hi, how do you do? They can see each other. But when you introduce God to anybody, he just want to see him. He just want to hear him, to touch him. So it's, first of all, it's not an easy mission. And this is our lecture tonight. How to introduce an invisible God. Let's read these verses from the first Epistle of St. John, chapter 1. I want to remind you that St. John at that time was more than 90 years old, and he was the only apostle living till this age, and this was written like the year 100 after Christ, and all other apostles left to heaven, so he was the only witness who enjoyed the life with Christ in the early years of the first century. That's why he said, which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon. You know, this translation is not very much accurate because the term which is not accurate, you know. It's supposed to be who. You understand? But you know, some kind of, because he is talking about somebody who is not seen yet, he is speaking about Christ, the Logos. Was from the beginning, we have heard, we have seen with our eyes, we have looked upon, our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested. And we have seen and hear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. That's exactly the ABC of evangelists. We believe in Christ, we touch him, we try to see him, to hear him, we have a real deep relation with him, after which we introduce him to others so they might get a real fellowship or relationship with him. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ, and these things we write to you that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So simply, he was speaking with people never seeing God. They were not living in the age of Christ, living on earth. They couldn't touch him. They couldn't enjoy sitting with him. But this old man called John was his very beloved son, beloved disciple. He enjoyed sitting with him, touching him, seeing him. So he is witnessing this truth. He was seen, he was heard, he was touched. God of everybody was incarnated to be seen, touched and heard. And this is our Christianity. This is the core of our mission. That we are introducing some person called God, the Son of God, but for the people around, they cannot see him now. But we should say this truth. Actually, we see him. Let us move forward to see how can we see him. So, by saying evangelism, by being a missionary, we have many truths we should deliver. First of all, he exists. The truth of God's existence is a pillar, is a cornerstone in our mission. We are speaking with people who do not believe in God, who may believe in many gods. who may believe in some material God. But we are speaking about different God, a personified God, one who can relate to you, make a real fellowship and relationship. So the first idea, He is there from the beginning. God's existence before ages, before time. The second idea, that we have heard Him, so He speaks, He talks. And this idea is very essential. You are speaking about God whom He talks, He speaks. So it's time to listen. Actually, when I speak with somebody, I'm non-believing, not yet believing. Usually, we advise him to pray and try to listen. I'm telling him, just listen to your heart. He will speak to you. You will listen. You will hear him. Because our God is a talking God, is a life God. Also, He appears. We have seen Him. This is another truth, that our God is incarnated into human being. So we can see Him. That's why we draw Him in icons. That's why we can see Him in visions. And also by being spiritual, you can see Him in everybody around. Also, we have touched Him, so He is very near. The fourth idea, you are saying to anybody that our God is not far away in heaven, is not with the wind there. No, He is very nearby and you can enjoy His presence, you can touch Him. So this is the message St. John, the old apostle, was saying to the people around whom they did not enjoy the vision of God as Him. So the first idea, faith, starts by a belief in His existence or by a touch of His presence. Faith starts by believing in His existence or, moreover, by touching His presence. And this is the idea I want to deliver for tonight. Because, you know, if you believe just by mind that He is there, there's somebody called God living there, out there in heaven, this is still not Christianity. Christianity always about a real relationship with this personified God. So the first road, I would say, the road of intellect, the road of the mind, the way to the head, not to the heart. And this way, you know, always mistaken, always deviated. But this is a common way with the Western countries, with those who believe that they are wise enough to understand everything by their mind. There's some road to the mind. Logic, knowledge and science may point that there should be a designer. If you are a logic person, by logic, there should be somebody, some creator, some designer, some almighty God. There should be. It goes with the logic. Also, by knowledge or science, you should believe that there should be a designer and a controller of this, for this universe. And He should be an only one wise God. You know, as simple as the idea, if there is two gods, there should be one controlling the other. There could never be two infinite gods. This is not logic. You know, I read a book after Saint Athanasius from the 4th century. He was saying this. By logic, we cannot believe in two infinite gods. This is not accepted by logic, okay? But even by saying so, this is not Christian faith. Not yet Christian faith. Why? Because somebody may believe in God, but have no relation with God. So he's not yet Christian. You understand the idea? You can defend your faith before some atheist, and you can convince him that his idea of no God is not logic. But by doing so, he's not yet Christian. You got the idea? God cannot be grasped by mind. If he could have been grasped, he would never be in God. Again, if you grasp God into your mind, actually his kind of equation, his kind of information, and this is not God. God is a person. You can never grasp the person completely in your mind, even a human being. You can never know everything about even yourself. So, you know, the road of intellect or mind is a very narrow road and may not lead to Christianity, may not lead. It was, you know, said in Matthew chapter 11, after long talk between our God, Savior Jesus Christ, and the congregation around, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babies. You understand the idea? Because being an infant or a kid, you do not use your mind much, but you use your touches and eyes and ears. But being wise and old man, you may not use your vision and hearing, but you will depend more on your mind, so you are out of the way. So the road of experience is our road for Christianity. When we speak about God, we speak about somebody who are relating to us, who are living with us, who are living in us, who are enjoying our relation together. So this is true Christianity, and this is the key of evangelism. If you see or hear or touch or live with or talk to, this is the real faith of Christianity. So we will get some few important questions. First, do we as preachers touch, see, hear, live with and talk to God? Fadi was asking you, what about the qualifications to be a real preacher? So it's the same question. Do you really can say that I talk to him, I hear him, I touch him, I can see him? If you, on this stage, you can be a preacher. But if you know him by some informations, you can never be an evangelist. Not yet. You understand the idea. In the Gospel of St. John, in the first chapter, St. John the Baptist was saying, I did not know him. You know, actually he was a very good Jew, Yahudi, Adim, Yohanna al-Ma'madan, John the Baptist. So he knew God, but he did not know the Logos, he did not know the Son of God, he did not know God as Christian. But that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water, and John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptized with the Holy Spirit. So even for the John the Baptist, he had the experience of touching, seeing, hearing, talking to the Son of God. After which he can say, now I know God. You understand? Also, in Matthew chapter 9, she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. This kind of touches. If you had some miracle in your life, if you touch God in your prayers, if you touch him in a problem, in a tribulation, if you have a real experience with touching God, now you know him. and you can speak out loudly about him. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So, in this verse, now there is, you know, an extra step after vision, after touching. This is the kind of believing. When you believe God, you may not need any more touches or any more, you know, physical relation. When your faith is strong, you will not need again this kind of physical touches as before. Also in Acts chapter 22, those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him. St. Paul was saying, was telling the story of his transformation into Christianity when he saw our Lord Jesus Christ. They did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all things which are appointed for you to do. So after this vision, he need not to see Christ frequently, but he believes. And because he believes, Christ is there, he's watching over me all the time. He is asking me to do his mission. I don't need to see him again by eyes. I don't need to touch him as frequent as once before. But now I believe. So in order to believe, there should be some kind of touch. What sort of touch? This is, you know, differs from a man to the others. But there should be some experiential relation. It's not an intellectual relation. Again, in this chapter, God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. So in order to be a witness like St. Paul, you should come to this level of, I can say that I touch God. I can say that I listen to his word. I can say at the time I could see his action, at least his hands. Also written in Corinthians chapter 11, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. I received, then I delivered. I received, so I can deliver. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread and he started telling God the story of Eucharist. So he is delivering the message he received. You know, up to this moment, the forefathers are always about this receiving. When did he receive this? He was not there on the night of Eucharist. He was not there. Did he receive it in one of his visions? But they prefer believing that he received this Eucharist through the hands of the apostles, through that tradition. The apostles who enjoyed this night with our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, delivered the message, and he received the messages from St. Peter, St. James, and John. So he can say now, I received. This means, you know, that this patristic tradition, this is important. Because one of you may say now, I was not one of the 12, I was not one of the 70. I couldn't say like St. John, I'm far away from this truth, from this experience. No. Remember, St. Paul was not there also. But by being a traditional church, and you believe in our patristic tradition, as if you experienced our Lord Jesus Christ through John, James, Peter, and Paul. You understand the idea? Because you believe in them, and you are a follower. So you can say that I touched him through the experience of my fathers. This is the Father Church, you understand the idea? That's why we always defend our church as being church of tradition, church of the fathers. It does not mean that we are just an old church. No, it has a better meaning that we grasp the faith through the experience of the fathers, and we can touch the same touches through them. So the patristic tradition simply are the church thoughts or church reservoir, church memory. We call it sometimes church memory. And this church memory are inside your mind now. Being a member in the Orthodox Church, these kind of memories are really inside you. So you can say, like St. John started saying, the one who were from the beginning, I touched him, I saw him, I heard him, and now time comes to tell you about him, so you can share me my experience and enjoy my relationship with the Trinity. So patristic tradition is the church memory, and simply is the Father's experience and knowledge. Lastly, I would say in this question, do we as preachers touch, see, hear, live and talk to God? The God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus. This was a sermon given by Saint Peter with the early church in Acts chapter 3. You know, the faith of the Jew, up to this moment, the Jewish people believe in what their fathers believe. They didn't see God of Abraham, but because their forefather Abraham saw him, they believe in him. Moses, their prophet, saw God, and he had a real relation with God. They believe in Moses, so they believe in God. So this is the story of the Bible. This is the story of, you know, tradition that we receive and deliver. We believe in the historical presence of God, historical experiences of God. And that's our major part in evangelism. Again, in Exodus, we're saying, moreover, he said, I am the God of your father. The first time our Lord Jesus Christ appeared to Moses, he told him, I am the God of your father, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob. Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. So it's not important for all people to see God as physical seen, but it's important to believe in the human experience of seeing God, hearing Him, touching Him. And by believing, you can deliver the message. And by believing, you are now up to the level of touching, hearing, and seeing. The second question, how can we introduce the same experience and knowledge to others? The last advice given by the Lord to the disciples, and what they call the golden order of evangelism in Matthew chapter 28, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. This is our mission. Go and make disciples of all the nations. After making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them, so after discipleship, after getting baptized, we should continue our mission in teaching. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He is always there. He is always with us. So with the power of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, His Spirit, in us, we can enjoy His presence. We can touch His presence. Not by the physical vision, but with the power of the Spirit. Also, it was written in John 14, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, Shua the Father. You know, Father God never seen. But the Son of God, Jesus Christ, could be seen. Now, Jesus Christ is not easily seen. But you are seen. You are, as Christian, is easily seen. Jesus Christ inside you by His Spirit. So your role, your mission is to show Christ in you. As our Lord Jesus Christ was showing His Father inside Him. You understand the story? With the question, show us your Father, the answer was, I'm here, you can see Him in me. The same answer now applies to us. If you are a real Christian, you can actually say so, but don't say so. But you're supposed to say so. You can see His Spirit in me. You can see Christ in me. If you are like Him in many things. So I can say with this second question, how can we introduce the invisible God? When they trust you, they will trust what you see. This is important. When they trust you, the African, the Asian, those who do not believe in God yet, when they trust you, and you say, I know Him, they will trust this, so they will believe. When you say that I touch Him in the poor, they will follow you, because they trust you. Understand, this is the key. So we need them to trust us. And they can never trust us if you are not like Christ. If you are not Christ-like, they cannot trust us much. When they love your beloved God. When they love you, they will love your God. They cannot see God, but they can see Him in you. Whom having not seen your love, so now you do not see Him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now you understand this? When you enjoy a spiritual, joyful, full of love life, people will look at you and they will follow you. Because you are living different life. You are really Christ-like. The third question, how can we avoid any deviation in delivering this knowledge and experience? As we say that our forefathers gave us their experience. They witnessed the truth. They managed to deliver the truth to the church. By their experiences, by seeing, hearing, touching. Now, how can the human part, human factor, will not deviate this truth here and there? You know the word heretics, heresy? Heresy means hartaq. And heresy in the ancient Greek language means part of the truth. Being a heretic does not mean that he does not believe in God completely, but he believes in part of the truth and ignoring some other part. This what heretics do. Understand? So this is the kind of deviation we should avoid. How can I can say the truth as is with no any deviation? This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light and in Him is no darkness. So whatever teaching allow some darkness in life is not a pure one. You understand? Whatever teaching allows for any kind of darkness in life is not true, is not light, is not part of the truth. It's kind of deviation. Is a heresy. You got it? So God is light in Him, no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, so any Christian lies, still lying, negative, is a heretic. Because he is not living the truth. He cannot deliver the message. You understand the meaning? The deviation is not only in teaching, but also in life. So whatever dark spots in your life, you are not really Christian. So you cannot deliver the message as pure as the truth. We lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We can love each other purely. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. So, the first answer of this question, how can we avoid any deviation, avoid any dark spots in your life? We need to repent continuously to be real missionary. To deliver the message as pure as the truth, we need to be men of God. Also written, the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. This was said by St. Paul to his apostle, to his disciple, St. Timothy. So he's saying that whatever you hear after me, just revive this with those who are witnessing the truth. So we need to revise each other, or making a control on each other. You control me, I control you. When I say something wrong, you stop me. And when you do something bad, I should stop you. So there should be some kind of what they call sometimes double control. The church is controlling our teaching. The Bible is controlling from the other side. Our teaching should be as clean as the Bible and as pure as the church. So we have some kind of control from the church teaching and from the Bible. I cannot understand the Bible without the church. I cannot live the life of the church people without the Bible. These are the main two references controlling our teaching and our Christian life. So any kind of deviation will be deviated out of the verses of the Bible or out of the teaching of the church. That's why St. Augustine said once that I cannot understand the Bible without the church. You understand this? I cannot receive the Bible outside the church, because I may explain it the way I like. I can make it the way I see. You have not so learned Christ. You know, in his letter to Ephesians, St. Paul said once, you have not learned Christ so. When they deviated in a way, he told them, this is not what you received. This is not the teaching I gave you. You did not receive Christ this way. So when we go to any country, African country, and we can see that Christian people living, having many wives, I can say this, we did not receive Christ this way. You did not receive the truth completely. You are living out of the way. Because his teaching was against polygamy, having many wives. Understand? Also written, if anyone seems to be contentious, we have no such custom, nor do the church of God. We cannot make customs according to the cultures around, according to the generations moving forward. No, we have basics we cannot remove. We have pillars we can never change. So we should follow the teaching of the Bible and the church. Also, to avoid any deviation in delivering the truth, even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you, then what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Anathema, the word anathema is the Greek word of the curse. So, even if you see an angel coming from heaven saying anything out of the truth, he is cursed. He is anathema. He is not accepted. You understand? So, the traditions or the truths we received, we can never change. No day will come saying that God is not Trinity anymore. No day will come saying that the body of Christ is not on the altar. No, this is the truth and it will stay the truth for all generations. Also, I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. So, there is, you know, some very strong relation between loving God and believing purely in Him. To believe in the truth, you can love God properly. You can never love God right in a right way if your truth is not right. So that's why our Lord Jesus Christ was praying, I declared your name and I'm still doing so. I will declare it again so your love will stay in their hearts. The last question, can we grow together or should we fully become mature before starting? This is an important question. Many of you may say, wow, this is too much. We can never preach the word of God. We are not ready yet. We are saying Christ-like people. I don't think if I live for 1,000 years, I can be Christ-like. Wait a minute. No need to be complete in everything to start preaching. Look to this. For this reason, I bow my knees. St. Paul was now in the prison while sending this letter to Ephesians. He was in the prison, so he cannot witness again to the people around. He is prisoned. I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. Because He cannot, you know, access these people. They are living far away and He is prisoned in the prison. But He has some access. He can deliver the message through praying. He can ask the Holy Spirit who dwells in their hearts to work, to teach them. Understand the idea? So we need not to be saints to start preaching. We can pray. We may ask the Lord, please help them to understand you more. If we are not ready yet, just you yourself deliver the message in their hearts. To be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. This means that even though they are good Christians, but not yet completed, so He is still praying for them to be more and more deep in their relation with God, to understand the width, height, depth, and many measures still not there in their heart yet. So we need to grow, but we need to start preaching while growing, and start growing while preaching. We can work together. Our Lord Jesus Christ pushed His disciples to go to the villages, delivering His messages, and they were immature. They were not yet completed. They were not even powerful enough with the Holy Spirit. Also written, the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant, with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. Look to this. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He is the chief, not the chief servant now. He is saying, I'm the chief sinner. This is St. Paul. And he was saying so after like 30 years of preaching. But still he's saying, I'm the chief sinner. I'm still not mature. I'm not competent. I'm not completed. I'm the chief sinner. But He is using me because the grace of the Lord was exceedingly abundant. Understand the idea? So you will feel this, that the grace of God is working with you, although you are very weak and you're still a sinner. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life. When you feel the kind of transformation happening to you, when you feel the kind of change into your heart, you can help the Lord changing people around. You can work with Him. So because St. Paul felt it, he enjoyed being transformed into good Christian with the grace of God, he is saying, I am the pattern, I am the model of being a chief sinner, and nowadays I'm a chief servant. So how to introduce an invisible God? Simply just see Him, touch Him, hear Him, talk to Him, try to get nearby to Him, and then you can easily speak about Him. Glory to God. Amen. The homework of this week, we will read chapter 5 of the second epistle to Corinthians, and specific verses from 18 to 21. And the next chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, from 1 to 10. So it's rather like 14 verses only. The homework is only like 14 verses. Please pick out the principles of evangelism. Just try to get the principles of evangelism of these 14 verses. Okay? So it's much simpler than the one of the last week. Again, chapter 5, the last 4 verses, and chapter 6, the first 10 verses, and you will catch the principles of evangelism of St. Paul from these verses. You know, for your knowledge, the second epistle of Corinthians we consider like the best letter written by St. Paul concerning any service, and specifically evangelism. All ideas of evangelism you can find in this epistle. So we will just review these 14 verses and get the principles out of them. You are supposed to get like 10 principles, but you just pick whatever you can, but you can find like 10 ideas of evangelism in these 14 verses. But you do your best, okay?